Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's great to have you in on a Monday. Joy and I just feel lucky this football season has turned out the way it has. One game left.
Never missed a game.
Not a game. Little COVID bump in the middle of it for Baltimore, Tennessee, Buffalo. I think they had a game. They didn't know who. Buffalo got in a plane one Sunday. I'm not sure they knew where they were going.
Browns would argue they should be in that conversation too, but they NFL did an incredible job.
They really did. Jimmy Johnson's a multiple-time Super Bowl champ, 9 seasons, coaching the Cowboys, Dolphins, Hall of Fame. I've learned more football from Jimmy Johnson than just about anybody I've ever known. He's now joining me live. Well, you know, one of my rules in this job, Jimmy, I don't like to question play calling. I don't know. I didn't look at tape like you coaches. I don't know. You could have injuries that you can't run plays. You've spent so much time. But I do think the Matt LaFleur kicking a field goal, Joy and I talked about this earlier. Boy, if I got Aaron Rodgers there, hell, even if I didn't make it, Jimmy, I'd still pin Tampa deep and I'd probably get the ball back. I didn't like the call. Your thoughts?
Yeah, our whole crew talked about that right when it happened. You know, when he was lining up for the field goal, I'm saying, why? You know, go ahead. You got to try to get the touchdown and try to get the 2-point play. And if it's not successful, you know, they're going to be backed up. You know, rather than take the field goal, kick off, they get good field position, they've got time. I said, you're never going to get the ball back. So I did not like the call at all. I think it was the wrong call.
So, you know, it's one of these things. Green Bay, for whatever reasons, they play differently with a lead. They're not as good trailing. And I thought when Tampa came in the first drive, Jimmy, and took a lead, I just thought my mood changed. I said, oh, we got a game here. I thought Tampa hit. Tampa was really physical. They were pounding the ball. Did you sense early that, you know, this could be trouble for Green Bay?
Yeah, I knew Todd Bowles' defense was going to give Aaron Rodgers some problems. You know, they really came on strong, really played well defensively, put a lot of pressure on him, rushing the passer. They did it the first time they played. And, of course, yesterday, you know, they sacked him a bunch of times. So I knew that defense was going to be a problem for him. I thought that Green Bay might be able to pull it out and had the defensive back and Mike Pettine not played the wrong coverage and the wrong technique right before the half, I think Green Bay would have still pulled it out.
Yeah. You know, what do you make of that? You know, so many of these big games, Jimmy, and you've been in these, it doesn't matter if it's you at Miami and Notre Dame, they come down to a play or a moment. With that touchdown that was surrendered at the end of the half, is that a player issue? I'm just shocked that it happened. Who's responsible for that?
Well, I like Mike Pettine. You know, he's been down here in the Keys. We've spent some time together talking football, one thing or another. I think he's a good football coach. But he played basically a one-free defense, a man coverage. But, you know, the defensive back, regardless if he had been in man coverage or zone coverage, you know, he was playing too tight. He should have been backed off. Personally, I would have been in a 3-deep zone coverage and in taken away the outside routes. That would have taken away all the deep throws and it would have taken the outside routes. So it was the wrong call coverage-wise and it was the wrong technique by the defensive back. Just a horrible play letting him get behind him.
You know, there's 4 different times, Jimmy Johnson joining us, that you coach Troy Aikman, Tom Brady Aikman. They're leaders beyond just being good quarterbacks. 4 different times that Tom has either been somewhere and left or not been somewhere and arrived. And in 4 different times, he averages 7 wins he's worth to a team. And listen, we know he's talented. But, I mean, you sense this with Aikman. Take me behind the scenes for an Aikman to be able to change the culture. Tampa's been it's a losing organization, Jimmy, for as long as I can remember. I mean, take me behind what you think Tom did or what you saw Troy do in Dallas.
Well, I think the number one thing, he brought a championship discipline to their team. You look at Tampa Bay, you know, the last year or two, they were a sloppy team. You know, they had a bunch of penalties, a lot of turnovers. With Brady in there, and I think it really kind of turned around in the Chicago game, the fifth game of the season. They lose by 1 point. Brady just goes crazy. I think their center had a unnecessary roughness penalty. Brady goes to the sideline. He's screaming and hollering. And from that time on, the very next week, they had zero offensive penalties, and they beat Green Bay 38-10. But you look at the season, you know, the season before in 2019, they had 41 turnovers, I think it was. Last year, you know, this year, they had 18 turnovers, you know, less than half of them. Penalty-wise, they cut it down by about 40 penalties. So they were a really disciplined football team. Besides him being a good player, he brought discipline to that team.
Listen, Kansas City, if I said to you, which team would you rather have, Kansas City or Tampa? Now, as I say that, most people would say Kansas City. But now they're missing Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. And now I think the strength of Tampa's team is their defensive front. And I do look at it and I think, boy, this feels a little bit like how the Giants beat that 18-0 Patriots, where Tom just didn't have time to get his feet under him. When you compare these rosters with those two offensive line losses, are these rosters closer than we think in terms of talent, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think it's close. Like you say, losing Fisher is going to be a problem because Tampa plays such good defense. They have some outstanding pass rushers. Barrett's going to be an outstanding rusher over there from that edge. I think the Tampa defense will give them some problems. And you never can tell. You know, you're liable to get in that ball game, and you know, your Kansas City's liable to struggle running the football because Tampa plays good run defense. They start rushing the passer. Kansas City gets behind. They drop a couple of passes, one thing or another. I think it's going to be a heck of a ball game, and I think without question, Tampa's got a great shot.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson joining us, the Hall of Famer. I was saying to you during the break, just the effortlessness of Kansas City's offense. I mean, they play so joyful, and it just seems so easy. And go back to even your coaching days at Miami or the Cowboys. Was there a season or a point where you could call anything, Jimmy? You didn't care where the field position was, the score, that you just felt like if we call the play right, our guys are better than their guys. Like, we have better players.
Yeah. You know, well, my days at the University of Miami, it just really depended on who we were playing, you know, Colin. I mean, about seven or eight of those teams, I could have thrown a dart at the play call sheet, and every play would have been good. It really wouldn't have made any difference because we were just so much more talented, you know, than who we were playing. Now, there were three or four games we had to make sure that we were prepared and we didn't turn it over, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, in college football, you know, there's such a disparity in the talent level for the great teams and the average teams. In professional football, it's a different story. You know, even in our run at Dallas, as good as we were, we had to play well every week or we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. Were you surprised at all that Kansas City sort of dominated Buffalo 38-6 run? Were you surprised by the kind of the gap in closeness?
I think, you know, they went on cruise control there for about a month and a half. But they knew getting ready for Buffalo, they were going to have to play well. Buffalo was hot and as hot as any team in the league. And so I think they really were thoroughly, thoroughly prepared. They knew what they were up against. And so they were playing their A game against Buffalo.
Final question. You've been to these Super Bowls. Do you implement your game plan this week? What do you do this week before Super Bowl week?
Well, what we always did, you know, well, first of all, my first Super Bowl, we had 2 weeks. And so you put in the majority of the game plan, all the fundamental plays, but you don't want the players to get bored. And so you save a little bit of it for the second week. And then the second week, you make some change-ups. you know, our particular situation, we were playing, you know, Buffalo with a no-huddle offense, and they had just run up and down the field on everybody because people weren't prepared for the no-huddle. You know, we ran two units against our defense for that first week, and we had them exhausted after the first week. But then we pulled back the second week, but we did add some things, you know, just to keep their interest up. You don't want them to get bored that second week, and you don't want to peak too early.
Yeah. Jimmy, it's a pleasure. Fox Sports NFL analyst, the Hall of Famer. Great seeing you. And are you going to go out fishing today or tomorrow?
I think I'm going to go in the morning. We've got a chance to maybe catch a wahoo or two, or maybe go get a mahi. I know I can always catch some small tuna. But I'll head out fishing in the morning.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Grab a Heineken, have one for me, too. I'd love to join you someday out there, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right, Colin, you know you're always welcome down here.
All right, Jimmy Johnson. I grew up on Washington State Beach. We had cold salmon fishing. He's down there getting tuna, warm water.
My brother loves fishing, too. I'm not quite the fisherman.
You know what? I was a deckhand as a kid, and then I went, for the first time ever, I went fly fishing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Last summer, right?
So great.
Yeah. I'm neither patient nor really like, you know, I like a nice seat, you know, and I can look close to the bar. I can order some appetizers and look at the nature.
And the fish.
And the fish.
Fish tacos, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I love fish tacos.
There you go. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
I went deep sea fishing with a girlfriend for her birthday, like, I don't know, maybe this was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Where?
In Miami. And it was my nightmare. It was awful.
Did you throw up or something?
I threw up. Me and 10 of the 12 girls that were on the boat threw up.
Was it a big boat?
It was a big boat, and we were all fighting. It was a storm. But like, the guys had already committed, like, we're going fishing. And I was sick literally from the moment we left the dock till when we came back.
And you were in a storm.
I mean, yeah, like the storm eventually stopped, but it was like very choppy waters. It was not a pleasant afternoon. We were all like fighting for the couch. That's really bad. I'll just eat what you guys bring back.
Right.
So Tom Brady's resume is far greater than any player in NFL history. And when it comes to the Super Bowl, he already holds the record in all of these categories. It's a long list. Ready? Games played, games won, pass attempts in one game, completions, completions in one game, consecutive completions, passing yards in one game, touchdown passes, and most attempts in a single game without an interception.
48 without a pick in a Super Bowl. Pretty good.
I'm very good at reading out loud. He'll continue to build on this legacy when he makes his 10th Super Bowl appearance this season. Watching that yesterday, and I think a lot of people have had this thought, so it's not like my original thought, but he's kind of getting into the space where, like, if he wins this Super Bowl, he is kind of the greatest American sports athlete ever, right?
Like, yeah.
How can you not be?
Like consider
it. He's 43 years old in his first season in a new system with a team that had 7 wins last year.
Yeah.
They're in the Super Bowl.
I mean, Jordan retired twice. And I know we can say he's 6-for-6, but the bottom line is,
I don't think we're really actually absorbing the enormity of this situation.
Listen, look at Belichick's the best football coach ever.
Ever.
This is humiliating. They had 10 touchdown passes. Brady had 44 entering yesterday. Like, it's not a divorce.
I am a Jordan zealot. This is really going to be tough to argue if he wins this. I don't get it. It's impossible what he's doing. Impossible.
By the way,
yesterday he did have 3 interceptions. Okay,
yeah.
But like, let's be clear about the entire picture of the situation. He is there in the Super Bowl. Like, they are there in the Super Bowl because of Tom Brady.
That's it. Everybody else was here. Everybody else was here for Tampa, and they had a losing record.
Like, you're welcome. But like, he is the reason why this is happening. It's really, really remarkable.
Think about this. He wasn't here last year. In his division, Drew Brees missed over a month. Carolina was bad. Atlanta was Atlanta, and they didn't make the playoffs, and now they're just a 3-point dog to a potential dynasty in the Super Bowl. I mean, the gap of, you know, I'm so over, and everybody watching me should root for Brady to succeed because he is the individual. The Patriots were the corporation. So if you root for the individual, Tom said to the corporation, no, it's not you, it's me. And the corporation said,
absolutely right.
Yeah, it's me. It's us. It's not. No, no, no. The individual, by the way, this was Tiger Woods to golf. This was LeBron to everything. Sometimes the individual, this was Howard Stern to FM radio. Sometimes the singular person, Oprah to daytime television, is bigger than the corporation. We've had about eight of them in my life, and Brady's one of them.
Can't deny it. So Deshaun Watson has still not asked for a trade from the Texans, but if he does, his preferred destinations have been revealed. Apparently, according to the Miami Herald, the Jets are Watson's top choice, followed by the Dolphins. He likes the Jets mainly because they hired Robert Saleh. He thinks very highly of him. He wanted the Texans to interview him for the job, but obviously they did not do that. And the Dolphins are said to be Watson's second choice. He also is expected to want out of Houston regardless of who they hire at this point, so it seems like that relationship has completely deteriorated. Apparently, he found out about the new GM hiring on social media.
Not great.
Maybe you should have just sent a text. It takes about 10 seconds to write that up, which really is probably a phone call. But yeah, you don't want your franchise quarterback, who's already very upset with you, finding out you hired a new GM on social media. That's kind of rough.
The pastor could have just sent a text.
You know, you just like in between prayers. Let me stop. Fox Bet has the Texans still as a favorite to have Deshaun Watson on their week one roster, but the Jets are favorite if he does leave. The Jets plus 200, Bears plus 300, Broncos plus 400. I don't know when the Broncos got in the conversation. Colts plus 500, and then the Patriots and Dolphins are tied at plus 800.
Well, if I go to Miami, no state tax, already have a coach and a defense intact. If I go to New York, it's very flamboyant fun. It's New York City, but
there's a lot of unknowns still in New York.
Yeah,
I feel optimistic about the Jets' future. Everybody seems to like Robert Saleh, and he has a lot of support around the league. They do have a ton of picks and cap space, so they are basically a blank canvas. So if you're interested in that, then that is a good space there. I mean, the Dolphins have said that they're still committed to Tua.
Yeah.
They just fired their quarterback coach, so it seems like they're leaning all in on Tua. I don't hate the Jets for him. I don't know that I love the Colts either. The Patriots is very interesting, though. I mean, they don't have playmakers, so that's
they need a playmaker.
Not really much
and
in the situation he's in
they
now.
They do have a decent offensive line. They drafted the offensive line last 2 years well. I mean, the one thing about New England I like is their O-line.
Yeah.
So it's like he will inherit a better O-line than Houston.
So veteran tight end Greg Olsen is calling it a career, and he made his big announcement yesterday on Fox NFL Sunday.
After 14 years of playing in this league, proud of what I was able to accomplish, proud of the relationships, everything that the game has given me, but sometimes when it's time, it's time. And my time in the NFL now has come to an end. I'm excited for the next chapter. I'm excited that chapter involves the Fox family and gonna be working with Fox moving forward in my post-career endeavors. So I'm stepping away, I'm done. I've got it all out of my system.
Great career, and welcome aboard.
Thank you so much.
Let's give it up for Greg!
One of the best guys I've ever met. One of the smartest, best guys I've ever met
Greg
as a
is
pro
awesome.
Athlete.
Congrats on an incredible career. And
can I give you a funny aside?
Yes.
So he texted me. He was looking for a team, and he was down.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about this. That's why I wanted to do the story, obviously, congratulating Greg and great career, and welcome to the Fox family. But you, like, played a little role in his last year.
Well, he said, I'm considering Buffalo or Seattle. And so he texted me, and I said, no state tax, Russell Wilson versus Josh Allen. And at the time, Josh Allen was a 56% completion guy. And I'm like, Russell makes everybody better. I said, one of their tight ends in Seattle was a defensive end at the University of Washington. He's made him good. He'll elevate you. Now, what I didn't say was, Brian Schottenheimer's schemes are not my favorite. I texted him like three times. I'm like, no state tax. Russell Wilson, winning culture. They use their tight ends.
I thought it was a good choice. He wanted to be in a space that, you know, was ready to win now and could give him an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl.
A year ago, what did we think of Josh Allen?
I would have made the exact same decision. I didn't think it was a bad choice at all. I actually really loved that he landed in Seattle.
Right.
I mean, Seattle's this.
So
has to have something weird about them all the time. It's like they insist on it.
It's Kevin Clarkson.
Just like how Josh Allen wants to take 30 sacks.
Seattle has never played a normal game.
Ever. It's one of the greatest tweets of all time. He is an excellent follow, but that one is like in Twitter history.
Yeah.
It's always accurate.
Seattle's never played a normal game.
Never.
Never had a normal season.
Well, congrats, Greg, on an amazing career.
All right. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Chiefs, Bucks in the Super Bowl, but all the teams, top teams that surround them, playoff teams, is their Super Bowl window, and they never last as long as you think. Are they open, partially open, or closed? Best for last. Next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Supplement I take every day, M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science. Refine your prime. Go to mdriveformen.com today. Well, the Bucks and Chiefs square off in the Super Bowl. Clearly, their Super Bowl windows are open. But in best for last, let's look at all the other playoff teams. Are their windows open, halfway open, or closed? Joy?
Start with the Bills. Open, halfway, or closed?
It's open. Josh Allen's 24 years old. Brian Daboll comes back another year. They were 15-2 against everybody. Not named the Chiefs this year. My guess is they're back here, barring injuries, same place, same time, next season.
Steelers.
I believe the window is closed. Big Ben is now old and only getting older, 38. He's had a passer rating under 90 in six of his last seven games. They have not won a conference championship since 2010. Cross your fingers on a couple of players who got hurt last year, but it doesn't feel tight.
The Titans open halfway or closed?
I kind of feel like it's closed. First of all, they've got some very notable free agents. Corey Davis had a good year, free agent. Steven Guskowski, the kicker, free agent. Jadeveon Clowney is a free agent. They also have a major issue, and that is they have maybe the worst pass rush in the league. So they're going to have to spend some money or hit a couple of home runs drafting. In the AFC, there's so many great quarterbacks, Joy. Your weakness cannot be, we have no pass rush. It feels closed for the moment.
The Ravens.
Very much open. I mean, Lamar Jackson's a kid. He's 24, third youngest player in league history with an MVP and a playoff win. They also lost Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle. Maybe the best left tackle in football. He's back. They also had a COVID outbreak in the middle of the season. Don't think they'll have that again. They're also the number one rushing team last 2 years in the league. They need to get better at wide receiver. They're fine. They got a long runway with Lamar Jackson.
The Browns.
I would say it's halfway open. Okay. First of all, Baker Mayfield without Odell Beckham since week 7. 20 TDs, 2 picks. That's good. Nick Chubb entering the last year of his contract. But they have another issue. Again, this is a bad defense. All right. There's too many good quarterbacks, including now Joey Burrow coming back, Lamar Jackson. Steelers may go get somebody. They got to clean up the back end. They've got a lot of talented young players, but they don't have any money now. They don't have a ton of money left. They're pretty close to having to eventually sign Baker, and they got a lot of money on that offensive end. They may want to engineer a trade for Odell Beckham and Austin Hooper, the tight end. They have to get better on the back seven. They're bad at linebacker. Bad.
The Colts.
I think it's wide open. Here's the good news. $65 million. Cap space, second best in the NFL. They have to find a quarterback, but don't kid yourself. If Matt Stafford's available, Matt Stafford is a smart enough guy to know that's where you go. Terrific offensive lineman. They're best players. Jonathan Taylor's a kid. Quentin Nelson's a kid. The right tackle, Smith from Auburn's a kid. Darius Leonard. Really good young players. They're only paying one guy right now, DeForest Buckner. They've only got one aged star of note. That's T.Y. Hilton. So they've got a good runway here.
The Bears.
This is closed. First of all, Allen Robinson is a free agent. That's trouble. Like, he's the guy. Also, they were 1-7 against playoff teams. I think the coach and the GM's on the hot seat. I kind of think what we know with Trubisky, you can win games with him, but the book is out. He's very limited. They'll probably lose Allen Robinson, so that's just not good.
The Rams.
I think it's halfway open. They have no cap space. So the Rams are going to be $30-plus million over the cap. Jared Goff now has 4 years remaining on his four-year $110 million deal. So I think it's open because Sean McVay, smart and Les needs a good GM, but they're going to have to make some tough decisions here. They've got a lot of expensive, very good players. So, you know, how long is Cooper Kupp around? Robert Woods, are they kind of the same player? I think they've done a good job of drafting skill people. They need to find a speed receiver. Maybe that's Van Jefferson. But it's open because they have good leadership, but they have some tough decisions to make here financially.
The Seahawks.
It's open. They're getting a new offensive coordinator. Schematically, they were a mess last year. Jamal Adams and Tyler Lockett are free agents. And Tyler Lockett is Russell Wilson's safety blanket. I think they have to upgrade their offensive line, but they've got a good coach. I talked to Greg Olson about that. Pete's a good coach. Russell's a great player. Bobby Wagner. You've got some stars here. Again, they're going to have to be judicious with money and be smart about it.
The Saints.
That puppy's closed. They're a million miles over the cap space. They got a bunch of free agents next year. Cameron Jordan cap hit. Michael Thomas cap hit. Taysom Hill cap hit. They got to make some big decisions. I think next year's a rebuilding year. It won't take long because Mickey Loomis is a great GM, Jeff Ireland beneath him, but they got to make some big decisions. It is a step back year for the Saints.
Packers.
It's wide open. It's wide open. Listen, Matt LaFleur's, come on, let's not kid ourselves. They got to the NFC Championship without arguably the best pass-blocking tackle in football, David Bakhtiari. He comes back. Now, they have an issue at running back. Aaron Jones probably doesn't come back. They got to pay him a lot of money, and they went and drafted Dylan from Boston College. So they're running. They will not be as special at running back next year. And I do believe they probably want to spend. I would throw out a J.J. Watt. I would go get a pass rusher if I was them. I thought Brady was too comfortable yesterday and Aaron was uncomfortable. So I'd go in the free agent market, try to get a J.J. Watt free agent, pay some money. Because you're not going to pay Aaron Jones. They'll let him go. And there you go. Nice graphic work by Open and Closed Doors. I really do appreciate all that stuff. Weather can be unpredictable. Be prepared. Have the right wipers. Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades. They last 2 times longer than other blades. Only available at Walmart. Jimmy Johnson, Michael Vick, Trent Dilfer. Absolute pleasure for John and Joy. Boy, we're so lucky.
So lucky.
1 game left.
It's going to be so good.
And then it's free agency, it's draft. Oh, my God. It's the Herd.